This is Juvie, a podcast that explores cases, legislation, experiences, and ramifications of children and youth in juvenile and adult criminal justice systems.
County allowing juvenile lifers to go out the wall. There's some level of trust that they have in you to put you in that position. Of course, I'm saying all this, not me never being out there. I've never been out there. I'm happy that the situation is finally coming to an end.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, Giovanni. How are you?
Hey, Zoe. How you doing?
I'm great. So, what's the next development? Something's happened, right? What's next? What's happened?
Oh, in terms of the case.
Yeah.
Well, I got a status. I got another status on the 13th of next month.
Yeah.
They're supposed to hand over the files and make an offer for me by February 1st.
Oh, really? But they've given you a date now.
Yes.
By February 1st, they're going to make you an offer?
Yeah, by February 1st.
How did you hear about that?
They told the lawyers are going to be meeting with the DA's office, and they negotiate what the case should be, it should be negotiated to. So the lawyers and the DA's will handle that. And then they'll bring it to me, and if I agree to it, then that'll be it.
Great. What? So they'll put you... Tell me what this place is, this sort of transition place that you go to. What's it called?
So what they did was some of the guys that are in the process of seeing a parole board, people who already got their sentences changed, they moved about 7 people out to the OSU yesterday, all juvenile lifers. They moved them out to the outside unit, so they're living outside the wall now. And they processed a ton of us in anticipation of our court hearing.
Really? That was so what happened? Did you say you went for an interview?
Did I get an interview?
Yes. Natasha said you went for an interview.
Yes. Yes. It's called a staff. A staff, and they staff you.
As in STAFFING?
Yeah. It's an interview, but they call it staff.
And what did that entail? What did they ask you?
They go over my record. They ask me, was I interested in my outside?
This is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Greater Bird.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Was I interested in being an outside unit? Would I like to go out there? They go over my record and stuff like that.
Is that just one option of how to go out?
People who live in an outside unit are people that's close to going home. So typically, if you go into the outside unit, that means that you'll be going home soon. When I first got here, they did have life, the people that were serving life sentences outside the wall, but that stopped some years back, I believe in like 95. They brought all the lifers in, and since 95, no lifers has been allowed to live outside in the outside unit. Since 1995, they brought all the lifers in. From the outside.
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Greater Bird.
This call is subject to reporting and monitoring.
And they have not allowed any lifers to live out there until this stuff happened with the juvenile lifers.
So is that the only way that you would go to release, or are there other options?
You don't have to go. You can stay right here and go.
All right, so it's not like a prerequisite. You don't have to go to this outside unit.
Yeah.
So you've never seen it then, Giovanni? You've never even seen it?
No, I've never been out there, but given the opportunity, I will go out there because it's just different from being in here. You know?
Is there any time frame that you're saying they would make you an offer by February 1st?
Yeah, I'll probably be out there somewhere potentially around like February.
Oh, really? I'm amazed you said they sent out 7 or 8 just yesterday. That's sudden, just like that. Who are these 7 or 8 people that have gone out there?
A guy named John Pace, a guy named Smokey Michael Wilson, a guy named Dick Daniel Anderson, a guy named George Peterson. There's another 2 guys, I can't remember their names. I know a couple guys didn't go out because they got medical conditions. They got a medical situation. and they would rather stay in head and deal with that. And there's two other guys, but I'm not sure their name, but a guy named Victor Shaw, I believe that's his name. I'm not certain about that, but I believe that's his name. They were all juvenile licensed. They all got their sentence changed, and they went outside.
So they've already been resentenced, all these seven or eight people?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Wow. How old are they, more or less? I mean, roughly. I mean,
oh, they range from age. Some of them is in their 50s. Some of them in their late 40s. They from 45 on up.
Right. So you're sort of the youngest, really. It sounds like that's been dealt with so far.
Well, no, there's a couple other guys too. I mean, it's just a part of the process. They just, you know, wherever they fall, you in, you fall in, and wherever they can fit you in, the staff you. They've been staffing people, you know.
Right.
There's no particular order that they're going in because they got other people here that's been here a lot longer than some of the guys that went out. So there's no particular order.
I think I have heard John Wetzel say at one point that they were going to prioritize the oldest cases. I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. I mean, for the most part, they are.
Yeah.
But there are cases that's being processed. Like John Pace, he had 30 years in, but, you know, he had like 30 years in it. And there's a ton of people that got more time than him. I mean, that's just an example. Like, they processed this case, got his sentence, they outside the unit.
Right. What's going on with Joe Legion? Has anything happened with him again?
As far as I know, he denied the DA's offer, and he's proceeding to a resentment here. My understanding is that he believes that he served enough. He shouldn't be required to be on parole for life.
How about Kempis Songster?
He goes to court. He goes back to court on January the 30th.
That's pretty exciting. Then things seem to be moving.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking to get the process over, like, you know, go through the process and just get it over with. A couple more months, you know, every day that passes, I'm getting a little closer.
You better start packing.
I have. I'm already packed.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
No, when you say packed, what have you got? Have you got a box? Have you got bags? What are you allowed to have in there?
Well, I got boxes. I got a locker box, a foot locker. I packed all my stuff and in preparation because I'm ready to send a lot of it out because I don't want to walk out of here. I got too much stuff to be walking out the door with.
Right.
I have a lot of paperwork. I accumulated a lot of legal work. So that's stuff that I have to try to get rid of. But it's kind of hard to let it go because I feel like I still need to do work on my case.
Yeah, so, yeah, I wouldn't throw that out.
Yeah. And I got a ton of books that I want to take or that I want to keep.
Now, I've never asked you this, but I'm assuming the answer is yes. Do you have your own cell?
Yes, yeah. I've been in a cell by myself since 96.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really good, isn't it?
It's better than being with somebody.
Yeah, no, because that's what I'm saying, especially when, you know, you have a lot of legal documents lying around and personal effects.
Yeah, I mean, but I just think the cells are too small to have another person in there with you, but
right.
They're way too small for that. And
what's the measurement?
I guess like 8
You
by,
have 1 minute left.
I'm not sure, about 8 by 15 or something like that. It's really small. It ain't that big. 12 by 15, something like that. You know, part of the reason why I've been by myself so long because I've never really been in no trouble. So I've never lost myself. I've just been in it.
Always been in the same cell for 20 years?
No, I haven't been in the same cell. But I've been in about, I don't know, about 6 or 7 cells, different cells. But the cell that I'm in now, I've been in there since like 2004.
Wow.
I don't move a lot. I only move when it's necessary.
Right. So do you have pictures on the walls and things like that?
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I know I've asked you this question before regarding Thanksgiving, but what is Christmas like in prison?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not a, you know, I'm not really a holiday person, but it's not a, it's just like another day. It's nothing. You know how, like, the outside world kind of transforms to kind of accommodate that time of the year? It's not like that in here. It's just another day. There's nothing extra. There's nothing special about it. There's, I guess if you want to make it special, you would have to try to make it special in your own way.
Right.
But there's nothing. They may hold certain religious services, but it's just in fact, they really shut down the jail around that time because no one comes in. Everybody takes off from work, so it's like really nothing to do around here.
So they don't even decorate?
Oh, no. You may see a tree. You may see a tree, a plain tree sitting here or there, but, you know, there's no decoration. Maybe in certain places, you may see some like somebody's office or a certain part of the prison or something like that, but you may see some things in the visitor room or something scattered around, but it's not all full decoration around here, no.
Would that be something that prisoners had initiated or the corrections officers?
Prisoners initiate a lot of stuff, like during the holidays, they collect money to give out candy and gifts for some of the kids in the visiting room and stuff like that. They do that. But for the most part, it's just another day. You get kind of used to it. You don't really expect much. You can't really expect much from a situation like this. You shouldn't expect much from a situation like this, neither.
This is a call from
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Greaterford.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
One mother who has been expecting a lot from the Pennsylvania criminal justice system is 57-year-old Ava Rollins, whose son Dante was arrested at 18 in 2006 and eventually convicted of attempted murder in a Philadelphia shooting that paralyzed a 6-year-old boy. He was sentenced to between 62 and 125 years in state prison. According to Giovanni's advocate, Latasha Williams, who introduced the Rollins to attorney Michael Wiseman, after Dante was arrested, Ava Rollins hit the pavement to find evidence to exonerate her son. She believed in his innocence and his alibi that he was out shopping downtown when the shooting happened. Knowing that most stores record over their surveillance footage, she quickly went to the businesses where her son said he had been shopping to gather surveillance footage that would substantiate his alibi. This past Tuesday, the Superior Court overruled a judge's decision to deny Rollins a new trial and granted him house arrest pending that new trial. But in the hours leading up to Rollins leaving prison, Assistant District Attorney Mark Gilson, Director of the Conviction Review Unit, announced that prosecutors were dropping all charges against Rollins. So on Wednesday, December 21st, just 1 month shy of 11 years since Dante was arrested, Ava Rollins got to welcome her now 29-year-old son home for Christmas. A free man.
Was he a friend of yours, Giovanni?
I know. You know, some years back, like when he first came here, somebody had introduced him to him, or somebody had brought him to me. And I read his paperwork and a lot of the issues that he had. People want to know why it takes so long for these things to manifest. So initially, like when he was on his direct appeal, a lot of the issues that he had that facilitated his release were not the issues that he initially was raising. He was raising about the illegality of his sentence because it was so long and versus what they claim that he should have received. There's issues that often facilitated his release didn't come along until maybe a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. I would imagine it's sort of like a bittersweet kind of situation because on one hand, you're happy that you're out, but then on the other hand, you know that you should have never been in there to begin with.
Right.
Just take a lot out.
It sounds kind of awful to say, but thank goodness he was only in for 10 years. And that just sounds like a contradiction in terms.
If it wasn't for his mother, he would have been here a lot longer.
Right.
This is a call from
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Greaterford.
This call is subject to recording.
Hey, Zoe, would you be available late on tonight at 5?
Yeah.
All right, can we pick this up back at 5? So they already run some people through the block, and they kind of locking the block up, so they're clearing the block. I'm the only person that's left on the phone. So.
All right, that's fine.
But I'll call back at 5 o'clock, and we can pick it up.
Okay, great. All right.
All right, so I'll talk to you at 5 o'clock. Okay.
The caller has hung up.
Now, you know you were talking about the outside unit earlier on?
Yes.
And you mentioned that till 1995 it was used for something else.
I was saying that up until 1995 they used to allow lifers to live out there. If you had a life sentence, you could still live outside the wall, but they stopped that in 1995 until this ruling came down with Miller, now they're allowing juvenile lifers to go out the wall. It was never used for nothing other than what it's used for, just the people who were permitted to be outside the wall.
The regular lifers could go and live there if they wanted. Yeah. Yeah. Is it much lower security out there?
Yeah, it's pretty secure out there. It's not, you're not behind the wall. If you live in an outside unit, then there's some level of trust that they have in you to put you in that position.
I'm just amazed that they used to let lifers out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Apart from the level of security, what are the differences from being on the inside where you are?
Oh, well, it's more of a step down. Like being outside, I would imagine that it's, of course, I'm saying all this, not me never being out there. I've never been out there, but I do know a lot of people that have been. There's a little bit more freedom out there. It's like a step down in the process of going out, like totally out the door. You know, anytime you put yourself in a less restrictive area, I think that anybody will want to be there.
Do you still have a cell, or how are you housed over there?
Yeah, everything, you know, you get the visits, your phone, you know, everything is the same. It's just you get extended more leeway.
But you're still locked up in a cell for most of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know how long prisoners generally spend at the OSU before being released, or does it change according to the kind of sentence they had in the first place?
Typically, you could be out there for a couple of years, depending. Usually when somebody is getting close to their minimum date, if they qualify to be out there, then you know, they can apply for it. It's usually like when you get a couple of years close to your minimum date.
What kind of re-entry things do they do out there that they perhaps can't do so well on the inside?
I'm not sure. I have to look into that for you.
Okay.
I'm not technically sure.
Yeah, because you were saying that you were offered this, and you were saying that a prisoner can just stay on the inside until they're released if they want to. There's no obligation to go to the OSU.
Well, some people have a preference. Like, some people may be, feel like they're okay where they at. Like, or some people may not want to go through the hassle or just moving their stuff. There's all kinds of reasons why a person may not want to be out there. Then there's a lot of reasons for why a person would want to be out there. It really depends on the individual and the circumstances. Some people may be so close that they say, well, I'll just wait until I can just go. There's so many variables.
I'm wondering if, for example, if you decide to stay on the inside, if it slows down the process to release, if there's any advantage in terms of speed, if you go to the OSU, if the procedure is quicker.
No, it doesn't slow the process up, nor does it speed it up. Everything remains the same no matter where you are. It's really more of a privilege or a benefit to you if you want to go out there, if you could qualify to go out there. There's less people out there. You probably don't have to worry about the noise level. There's all kinds of stuff that you're not exposed to being on the outside.
Now, does it happen very often that somebody goes out to the OSU and ends up abusing it in some way and ends up coming back inside?
Sometimes people go out and have to get brought back in for various reasons. They might catch a write-up or something may happen, and then they bring them back in. That happens sometimes. It's not all the time, but it does happen. Once somebody is out there, they try to do whatever they can do to maintain that position. Like, you don't have too many people that mess up, but it does happen.
So you were saying earlier on that you anticipate hopefully being there by February, sometime in February. Is there any indication about how much time they would want you to stay there before being released?
No, it depends on your particular case. It depends. You're talking about me, how long I would stay there, or anybody?
You, yes, but other people in your similar position.
Okay, well, if I were to go out there, then I probably wouldn't be out there for so long, because I'll be in the process of saying the parole board if that becomes the situation. Like, it's still a moving thing with me, because I don't know exactly what my sentence is going to wind up. Ultimately, what will it end up being? I have to see. But if I'm in a position of going out in OSU, I'm not going to be sitting out there for years. I'll be sitting out there for weeks or a month or so.
Okay, great. Well, things seem to be moving a little bit more quickly now, suddenly, don't they? There was a lot of stagnation, and now suddenly... chop, chop, you get a hearing, you get an interview...
Yeah, it's moving, so I'm hoping that within the next, I think the process for me is going to be, it's relatively simple. I mean, I know they have a tendency of making it more complicated than it has to be, but we're going to wait to see get this information on the 13th. They'll make the offer. If it's something that I can agree with, if it's something that I believe I can either work with, then I'll accept it. But if not, then I'm going to go to a recessor hearing. So the way I project it, and it's just a rough projection, the way I project it is that I could be home as early as, say, April or as late as July or August.
Okay. Well, that's a good time frame.
You have 1 minute left.
So at the end of the day, we're still talking about a matter of months. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to prepare for the whole situation. So
yeah. It's exciting, though, isn't it? It's very exciting.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a bittersweet type of situation, but you know, I'm happy that the situation is finally coming to an end.
Yeah. We all are.
Yeah. And what I'll do is I'll give you a call back. We'll finish up. I'll call back on Saturday morning.
Okay.
I'm going on a visit tonight. My sister coming to see me, so
okay.
I'm gonna go out. Yeah, she won't come up tonight. So
okay. Say hi to her from me.
Okay, I will. I'll be in touch Saturday. We'll do Saturday morning.
Okay.
All right, because I know that's almost my time. So
yep.
Everything's okay.
Yep, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Juvie, conceived, written, and produced by Zoe Badavinic. Join us next time on Juvie.